That's the best thing you can say today is I will praise you. Amen. Thank you, choir. We're in this series, Knowing Jesus Through His Names, and my prayer is that Jesus would be exalted this morning as we look at another name that reveals even more about Him. Did you know we could know all of His names and know them thoroughly and still not grasp all that Jesus is? That's why the writer had to say we thank God for His unspeakable gift. You just can't speak all that He is. But I pray He'd be glorified through the preaching of the Word this morning. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? Amen. Looks like our Amen corner is just about all gone this morning. Brother Cruz, would you mind come help us? Amen. Brother Aaron, would you mind come help us in our Amen corner? If you notice that they're not saying amen, just kind of motion to them and say. Matthew 16, verse 13. And there's so much in this text, but I'm not going to exposit this text. I'm using it to note this name of Jesus. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Everybody's going to have to answer that question, and your eternity depends on how you answer that question. He's not just a good moral example, not just a great teacher, not just a prophet. Who is this Son of Man? But instead of expositing that theme that's a part of that text, I just want you to note the fact that Jesus names Himself in this passage through this question. Jesus names Himself. He said, whom do men say that I, and here it is, He names Himself, I, the Son of Man, am. Oh, this is a wonderful thing because Jesus has just revealed that the Son of God is the Son of Man. Hallelujah. So we're going to preach this morning on that name of Jesus, the Son of Man. Would you pray with me and for me? Stretch forth the hand this way. Jesus, be glorified through the preaching of Your Word. Lord, as this service continues, as the preaching progresses, may Your presence grow stronger and stronger amongst us. Oh, Jesus, be magnified. Jesus, be exalted. May we see You for who You are, Lord. Shut up my mind to the truth, Lord. Remove every distraction in this place. Lord, help us to know that You're amongst us. You that walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that You walk in our midst this morning. We honor You, Lord. Hallelujah. I know we've been praying, but let's just praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we give thanks to You. Lord, we honor You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. The Son of Man. It's a practice at many fast food restaurants, and I'm thinking of one McDonald's I go in sometimes, and you put in your order, and instead of just standing there waiting on it, the clerk will say to you, now, what name would you want me to put down to call you for your order? What name would you want me to put down? Well, you know, obviously, I'm not going to tell them Pastor Hurst, and I avoid saying Clifford because I then many times get the comments about the big red dog. And so I just say, put down Cliff. Besides, that sounds a little younger, too, and, you know. They hear Cliff, they think of someone younger. I say, just put down Cliff. And using my imagination, I tried to imagine if Jesus ordered at that McDonald's and the clerk said, and what name would you want me to put down? I am convinced that He would have said, Son of Man. Hallelujah. Son of Man. You see, Son of Man was Jesus' name of preference. What do you mean? Well, we've discussed the multitudes of names for Jesus. But in the New Testament, 80 times, Jesus referred to Himself as the Son of Man. There's four other uses by someone other than Jesus 84 uses, but 80 of those times, Jesus called himself the Son of Man. That was his name of preference. Amen. He has the names, I'll name a few, Savior. He has the name Emmanuel. He has the name Jesus. He has the name Son of God. The name we preached on last week, Lord. But when he referred to himself, he used none of those names. He called himself the Son of Man. There are those names that the prophets used referring to him. There are those names that the disciples, the apostles used referring to him. There are even those names that we particularly are fond of that we use in reference to Jesus. But when Jesus called himself anything, he called himself the Son of Man. Hallelujah. And so I want to answer the question this morning. What does Son of Man mean? Why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man? I want to inform us this morning that first of all, Son of Man always has a dual meaning. It means two things at once. And one of its meanings is very lowly, and the other meaning is very exalted and high. When we leave this place and say Son of Man, we're going to have both of those rolling around in our soul. The lowly Son of Man and the exalted Son of Man. You see, when he said, I am the Son of Man, first of all, that referred to Jesus' nature. Amen. He was very God, a very God, but the Son of God became the Son of Man, a reference to his nature. It doesn't literally mean he was the Son of a man. How many knows that Jesus was not the son of a man? He was not the son of Joseph or any other man. He was the son of a woman, Mary, and he was the son of Almighty God. But you see, Son of Man also means son of Adam or son of humanity. In other words, Jesus was a human. Many times the word son of was not a reference to progenitor, who the Father was and who the Son was. It was a reference to the nature of a thing. The scripture talks about the sons of light. They have the nature of light. We might refer to the sons of the sea. They have the nature of a sailor. You might hear of the sons of glory. They have the nature of glory. Jesus was the Son of Man. That means he was the son of humanity. He had the nature of a human. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Amen. One of the early songs of the New Testament church was that God was manifested in the flesh. He became a human. And so one of the things Son of Man means is that Jesus had the nature of humanity. But it's a dual meaning. What is the other meaning of Son of Man? This speaks not of Jesus' nature, but it speaks of his position. You see, he is the Son of Man, even in his nature, but in his position, he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Amen. I'm going to tell you what it means and then I'm going to show you from Scripture. But the Son of Man was the title of the position of the ultimate king over the everlasting kingdom. Amen. The final king who will be both judge and deliverer and who will rule and reign forever and ever and ever. Blessed be his holy name. Oh, hallelujah. I meant to say it last week. I'll just say it right now. I don't know who our president's going to be after November, but I'll know who our Lord still is. I don't know who's going to be president the next 4 years, but I know Jesus is coming and he's going to rule and reign supremely, unquestioned, unchallenged for eternity of eternities, because he is the Son of Man. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Amen. 600 years, 500 to 600 years before Jesus came in the flesh, the prophet Daniel was given dreams and visions. And in his dreams and visions, he saw the succession of kingdoms from his time to the very end and beyond. He saw the empires that would rise and fall. He lived in the time of the Babylonian Empire. He saw in his dreams and visions Babylonian rise and fall. Amen. And all the kingdoms and empires from them until that last empire. But in that succession of empires, Daniel was given the vision, and Daniel saw the everlasting king of the final kingdom. And the marvel is that everlasting king that Daniel saw was a man, but much more than a man. It's right there in the vision. He's a man, this ultimate ruler, ultimate kingdom, king over the final kingdom. He's a man, but he's much more than a man. In this particular dream, where this revelation of the name of Jesus is made, amen, Daniel sees four beasts. He sees a lion, he sees a bear, he sees a leper, and he sees an almost indescribable, terrible beast. The lion is the empire. Check your history. The empire Babylon. That's the lion. The bear is the kingdom, the empire of the Medes and the Persians. The Persian Empire. That swift leper is the empire of the Greeks. And that indescribable beast stands for Rome, with ramifications clear to our time. But the point is, in that dream, Daniel sees in succession these beasts or empires come upon the scene of world history and disappear. But he said, I also saw how it's all going to end up. And here's where the name comes from. Amen. Brother Dirt told me, he said, I've got every scripture except two from the Bible this morning. I'm going to read them fast, but this is important. Here's when Daniel saw the Son of Man. Listen. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. In the Ancient of Days, God the Father did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheel as a burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Listen, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even until the beast was slain. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have time to preach this, but we're talking about the Antichrist that would usurp the position of Jesus in the world and try to be the one world ruler. The beast is slain. Amen. He represents this. Amen. And his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. But he said, I watched on. And here it is. Here's where it comes from. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given to the Son of Man dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. Here it is. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. The Son of Man is the ultimate king of the everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you praise him this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 600 years later, on an isle called Patmos, a man named John said, on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit. And you know what he said? He said, I saw that one that Daniel saw. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to what the revelator said. He said, I saw that one sitting on the throne of heaven, reigning supremely over the church. reigning supremely over the earth, reigning supremely over heaven, reigning supremely over the universe. He said in verse 13 of chapter 1, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like, here it is, unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like into fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, oh, no place for arrogance, no place for self-sufficiency, no place for self-aggrandizement, but when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. Amen. And he said, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. John said, I saw the Son of Man, and I knew who he was, because he identified himself to me as the one who had died but rose again. Hallelujah. The ultimate king of the everlasting kingdom. Oh, this is a point that needs to be taken. When Daniel saw the Son of Man, amen, set up his everlasting kingdom, he said that Son of Man comes with clouds. We read it, but I want to emphasize it and show it to you again. Daniel 7:13. Look right there. The Son of Man comes how? With what? He comes with clouds. That's Daniel. Why is that important? Because that's how Jesus. I said, that's how Jesus, the Son of Man, described his coming. Many verses, but Matthew 24 and verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming how? With clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. That's how John the Revelator saw him coming. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the same chapter where he was called the Son of Man, says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I tell you, he is coming with clouds. And I didn't him as the Son of Man. Hallelujah. How many believes he's coming again? I'm telling you, when he departed in a cloud. And the angel said, don't stand here gazing. This same Jesus that is taken away from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He's coming with the cloud. Oh, I don't think it's water vapor either. He cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall, oh, we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is the Son of Man. I told you that Daniel watched all these other kingdoms, empires, come on the scene and crumble. But when he saw that last kingdom of the Son of Man, he said it never crumbled. It went on forever and ever. History has borne out the vision of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he's dead and gone. Darius, king of Persia, he's dead and gone. Alexander the Great of Greece, dead and gone. Caesars of Rome, dead or gone. Amen. Charlemagne, Genghis Khan, Mussolini, Hitler. I can name some of our time, but every one of them, they're going to rise and they're going to fall, dead and gone. But I want you to know, He died to die no more. Amen. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And this Son of Man that shall arise at the end of human history, amen, to rule and reign supremely, amen, He's not going to pass away. And of His kingdom, there shall be no end. Oh, hallelujah. Do you call Him Son of Man this morning? Are you looking for the coming of the Son of Man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to take a breath and look at something that I feel is so important. I told you the Son of Man had dual meaning. And so I want to ask the question, how was Jesus the Son of Man in both of these ways? How could it be humanity and be an everlasting ruler? Every time Jesus used the name Son of Man, He used it, I believe, with the dual meaning. I told you there were 80 references of Jesus to Himself as the Son of Man. I spent time this week looking at every one of those occurrences in the New Testament. In the Gospels when Jesus called Himself Son of Man. And I did something I like to do before I drew conclusions. I categorized them. Even this fits into this category. This fits into this category. And undeniably, the two biggest categories by far were when Jesus said He was the Son of Man, He was referring to His humanity on one hand, and the other big category is when He referred to Himself as the Son of Man coming again. Let me put it another way. The first big category was when Jesus talked about the Son of Man and His death. The other big category was when Jesus talked about His second coming to rule and reign forever and ever. In other words, amen, Jesus referred to the Son of Man, His death. Son of Man, His second coming. Son of Man, His lowest point. Son of Man, His highest point, His exalted point. Amen. Those scriptures, half of them referred to His death in the sense that He is a Son of Man, a human who can be killed, a human who can die. But the other huge amount of the scriptures was when He referred to Himself as the Son of Man who comes as Messiah, King, and Judge. Oh, hallelujah. I said He's both. In fact, we're going to see in a moment, He had never been the Son of Man, the ruler, if He had not been the Son of Man, amen, the human. We will see He would never be the Son of Man who ruled and reigned supremely had He not been the Son of Man who died on the cross. Let's look at it here. Amen. Amen. Brother Dareth is ready. We're going to start the scripture derby right now. As the Son of Man, the human, Jesus was so poor, He had no place to call home. These scriptures are important. Even Matthew 8, Jesus saith unto Him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. What a human, a poor human. Amen. But as the Son of Man, the coming King, He has great power and glory. Mark 13, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. As the Son of Man, the human, He can be arrested, He can be judged and condemned, howbeit falsely. Amen. Look what it says in Matthew 20. Behold, Jesus said, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed, the Creator. Amen. He'll be betrayed into the chief priest and the scribes. And with trumped up charges, they will condemn Him. They will judge and commend Him to death. But that's the Son of Man as a human. The Son of Man is a coming King. He will not be judged. He'll do the judging. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Book of John chapter 5. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, because the hour is coming when all that are the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. They judged him, Son of Man, human, on that day. But when he comes as the Son of Man, even they will be judged by him. Hallelujah. As the Son of Man, the human, he was sinned against. He was wronged. He was denied. He was betrayed. In Matthew chapter 20, we go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed and condemned. Amen. Verse 19. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. As the human, he sinned against. Oh, but as the Son of God, he has the power to forgive sins. Amen. I don't have time for the story, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Oh, hallelujah. I said, as a Son of Man, he was sinned against. But as the Son of Man, he could forgive sin. Aren't you glad he has the power to forgive sin? Glory to God. He is the Son of Man. As the Son of Man, the human, he's a human. He can be killed. He can be murdered. Mark 8, he began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. Here it is. As the Son of Man, he is going to be killed. But as the Son of Man, the coming King, he is the source of all life. He is the source of eternal life. Look what it says in John chapter 6. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Amen. A Son of Man, they killed him. The Son of Man, he gives everlasting life. And so there is that dual meeting. I marvel in our services how the Holy Spirit orchestrates things. We had a change of the reading of scriptures, and those that read, they choose their own scripture. But there is one scripture that puts both of these, a Son of Man, nature, humanity, the Son of Man, title, position, amen, kingship, dominion, a scripture that puts them together. Many times we misunderstand this scripture because we leave it with just us as humans. And on that level, it's very true. But Sister Sharon read it this morning. Oh Lord, thou art our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies. Amen. And then she began to read. Look, notice what was read here. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Leave it there for just a second. Amen. We read this. I pray it probably every day because I marvel. Amen. What is man? That's me. That's you. We're weakness. We're weak. We're frail. We got problems. We got troubles. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? What's the Son of Man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. And it does apply to us. But don't forget, he became a Son of Man, and it applies to Jesus. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Oh, look what it says in the next verse. Amen. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. That's true of me and you. Amen. We're made lower than the angels in the sense we've got this body. We're limited to this earth. Amen. We're limited to the material and the temporal. But it was also true of Jesus, the Son of Man. He who created angels, he who ruled the myriads of angels, by his own choice, he became a man. He willingly was made a little lower than the angels. He who was in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He who ruled angels is now a little lower than the angels. Oh, but
what is true of us. Go back to Adam, has crowned him with glory and honor and given him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Hallelujah. Adam was a little lower. He's made out of clay. He's made out of the earth, a little lower than the angels. But God said, march into that garden and take dominion over it and over every animal. Yes, it refers to me and you, but Jesus became one of us. Amen. He became just a man, but God took him and made him to have dominion over the works of earth, the works of heaven, the works of all that are in the sea, the works of right now, the works of tomorrow, the works of eternity. God hath made him the Son of Man to be the Son of Man that has dominion over all. Can anyone feel his presence this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's another scripture in the New Testament. I've already read it. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, the Son of Man. Oh, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The coming of the eternal Son of Man, ruler of all, was only possible because he became a Son of Man who could be pierced. He bled water and blood. Oh, hallelujah. They pierced him as the Son of Man, thought they'd done away with him. But the one they pierced as the Son of Man, a Son of Man, is coming as the Son of Man. And they're going to start wailing right off because they know what they've done to him. You that have heard of Jesus and his truth and the wonderful gospel, if you reject him, there will be a day when you will wail at his coming, because he was right there in your life and you rejected him. You would have nothing to do with him. And so how do we reconcile these two meanings? The lowly meaning of his humanity and the exalted title of the ultimate ruler of the kingdoms of eternity and all their inhabitants. Amen. I already quoted it, but just for emphasis, let's look. Being found as a fashion, as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, a Son of Man. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every, oh, the Son of Man. I said, the Son of Man. Amen. Let's bring this all together before we quit. What does all this mean to us today? Is it just a lesson in the etymology of words? Is it just theology? Or does it mean something to us? Let me tell you what it means. As Son of Man. Amen. As a Son of Man. That ties Jesus to us. We got to get this, because I'm going to contrast it in a moment. Son of Man ties Jesus to us. He shares in our humanity. Oh, wonder of wonders. Let me just put it this way. He is one of us. I said, Son of Man ties Jesus to us. He is one of us. Even we too are the sons of man. He became a Son of Man to die in our place. And it means everything to know that he is one of us. Amen. We may elect him to be the president of the United States. But the thing that is unique in our country is the president of the United States, inarguably the most powerful man in the world, he'll sit in the chair behind the desk in the Oval Office. He'll look into the cameras and he will say, my fellow Americans. He'll stand behind the podium in the Rose Garden and look into the cameras and he'll say, my fellow citizens, I am one of you. When Jesus said, I am the Son of Man, he was saying, Mark, I'm one of you. I'm one of you and I'm one of you. I'm one of you. I'm human too. He tied himself to us. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, he's kin to us. We are his brethren. Amen. We share a common nature with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means I can never, ever, ever say to Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what it feels. You don't know what the struggle's like. You don't know what the battle of Satan's like. I can never, ever say that to Jesus because He became one of us. He was tempted at all points, like as we are. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings. I said he tied himself to us with the title Son of Man. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Just quote it. Move to Hebrews chapter 12. Thou hast made him, here it is, quoting the scripture we looked at in Romans 8. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. I was telling you this applied to Jesus. And didst set him over the works of thy hand. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Amen. Verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Hallelujah. Lower than the angels. But he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Amen. That he might be a faithful and a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted. I said when he called himself the Son of Man in reference to his nature, he eternally tied himself to us. Oh, that means something. It not only means he knows what I'm going through, he knows what I'm struggling with. It means this: when it comes time to come before God, next scripture, there is one mediator between God and men. Who? The man. The man, Christ Jesus. Oh, you got a struggle. You got a problem. You're praying about something. You're burdened. Amen. There's one that stands between you, Brother Cruz, and God the Father. And he says to the Father, I know what he's going through. I know what he's feeling. I know the weakness. I know the battle. Oh, Father, intervene on behalf of Rick Cruz. He tied himself to us. The Son of Man. Secondly, Son of Man not only ties Jesus to us, but Son of Man as a title ties us to Jesus. He shares in our human struggle. We will share in his reign and rule and glory. Since he identified with us, called us brethren, we can identify with him and say, brother. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, where humans will die like he died, we shall also live with him. He resurrected, we're identified with him, we'll resurrect. If we suffer, he was a human, he suffered, but we're tied to him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Hallelujah. I don't know if I have all these scriptures, but years ago I was working on some memory work in Ephesians, and I love that, starting chapter 1 verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, exceeding riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, seeing greatness of his power. And you may have these verses, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Listen, he raised Jesus from the dead, set him in his own right hand, and the heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I remember when I got through those verses, I was rejoicing. Hallelujah. God raised him from the dead. What did it say? And set him in the heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and put all things in his feet. I was rejoicing. And you know how we think sometimes as human, Brother Jerry? Then it hit me. I said, that's real fine, Lord. You're sitting up there in heavenly places far above it all, and it's all under your feet, but I'm still right here down here in the midst of it. I'm still fighting the principality and the power. You ever think I'm thinking like that? But that's before I got to memorizing chapter 2. And it said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in times past you walked according to the prince of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's the shape we were in. But then it said, but God. Aren't you glad when you get to but God? That'll change many a life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He had loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together, for by grace are you saved. And what? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding. Oh, hallelujah. I was bemoaning that He's been lifted up above it all. He's seated above it all. All's under His feet. But Paul said, when you get saved, He raises you up. He sits you with Christ. How if the Son of Man's over it all, if you're saved, you're over it all. If it's under His feet, it's under your feet. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. Amen. He identified with us so we can identify with Him. Oh, would you like to praise Him? Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Revelation chapter 3. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. The Son of Man, the ultimate ruler of the everlasting kingdom. But if you overcome, how many has Jesus as your Savior? How many's born again? If you're an overcomer, you know where you're going to be seated in glory? You're going to be seated with the Son of Man on the throne of the everlasting kingdom. Knowing that this morning, listen, knowing that as a Son of Man, He relates to us, you know that He is empathizing with us. You know you can face whatever you face, endure what you must endure, because He's right there with you in the struggle. Son of Man, a human. But knowing He is the Son of Man, you know that whatever the struggle, there will be victory. There will be overcoming. You will rule and reign with Him. And when He judges this world, you'll be on that side of the judgment bar, not the one judged by that eternal judgment. Oh, do you want to reign with Him? I wasn't going to tell it because I've told it so many times, but it keeps hitting me. I talked to my pastor friend yesterday that as a teenager was at a dope party. Amen. Been an altar boy in the Catholic Church. Didn't know the true gospel. Amen. There's a family Bible laying on the coffee table. And something compelled him to go over and open it. And he opened right to the verse. It says, you shall reign and rule with me. And the smoke, marijuana smoke, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, if you'll give you my life, give to me your life, one day that'll apply to you, and you'll rule and reign with me in my kingdom. He said, right there, I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's been about 35 years ago. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He identified with us. He knows what we're identified with Him. We will rule and reign with Him. Amen. Behold, He comes with clouds and great glory. I can't get that out of my head. And I've been praying, Lord, when you come in clouds and great glory, I want to be ready for that. I want to be ready for that. We're living in a time when people would like to cut out the rapture from the second coming, but the rapture is a part of the second coming, because we must meet Him in the air if we return with Him to rule and reign in His throne, in His kingdom. We are in, this is the word of the day, we are in solidarity with Jesus. Hallelujah. He empathizes with our human struggle, and we will rule with Him in His kingdom. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There remains but one question. Hear me across the building. Even if you've heard it 100 times, one question remains. He has identified with you. Have you fully identified with Him? He serves as notice. Whosoever there shall be ashamed of me in my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the Holy. Do you have a clear testimony this morning? Are you unashamed to say, my life is in Jesus. I've surrendered to Jesus. Are you unashamed? Do you hide it from those at work or school that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Something in me tells me if you're hiding your relationship, you probably don't have one or a very viable one. Amen. We're living in a time that nobody wants to identify with Christ. Amen. I don't want to be on a hobby horse, but my heart is grieved in our society when you can't tell the life of a Christian, professed Christian, from the life of someone that never professed they ever knew him. No difference. Not in attitude, not in entertainment, not in dress, not in motive, not in practice. Amen. No difference. Amen. You know what that tells me? They're not identifying with Christ. Because when you identify with Christ, everything's going to change about you. Your value system, your entertainment, your music, it's all going to change. And I'm telling you, if there's been no change, amen, you're ashamed of Jesus. I'll tell you, a person who's unashamed of Jesus is one who's given themselves holy to him, so that everything of their life says, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I live for Jesus. I said, he identified with you. Have you identified with? I know one thing. When the Son of Man comes with the clouds, I don't want to be here ashamed of him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see this identified thing? He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Oh, but if you identify with me, I identify with you. If you say to Jesus, he's my Savior, he's going to say of you, that's my follower, that's my brother. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, Son of Man is coming. I said, the Son of Man is coming with clouds and great glory. Amen. Thank God for America. But one day this empire, and it's quickly coming to that place, is going to fall and crumble with the other empires of human history. But when all the dust settles, there'll be a rule and reign of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and his glory shall fill the earth as waters cover the sea. Would you stand? There's a television program, Undercover Boss. Some owner or CEO of a big company, to see how the company's doing, will go under disguise, work in the docks, work in the kitchens, whatever it may be, trying to be just like a new hiree. He identifies with the workers because he identifies when they really spill the beans. They talk about what's wrong with the owner of the company and the CEO and the way things go wrong, should be done, haven't been done. He identifies with them. Sometimes they'll call him a klutz, and not knowing it's the owner. Our Lord would never be insufficient or fall lack or slack in any way. But I want you to know, in a rough sense, and please forgiveness the crudeness of the illustration, but I tell it for this last part. Jesus fully identified with us as a Son of Man. He laid aside his glory. He came as a new hiree. He sat in their churches. He ate in their homes. He walked in their streets. And what really got folks is he didn't identify with the high and the mighty. He identified with the lowly. And they met it as a condemnation. They said, this man eats with publicans and sinners. That was no condemnation. That commends him to me. Because he fully identified. Amen. But on that undercover boss, there comes a day when he takes the disguise off. And he's sitting in a chair. And they bring those different ones that said all those things into that room where there's only that boss, that owner, that CEO. And the surprise, you can look it up on YouTube, the surprise that comes on those people's face when they realize that the worker was the CEO, that the hiree was the hirer, that the fellow person at work was the owner. The surprise. I want to tell you something. He came, Brother John, fully integrated into our world as a Son of Man. Those elders on that Sanhedrin, that high priest, treated him as if he was the lowest criminal. That officer slapped his face. They ill-treated him. They plucked. I'm telling you, one day, though, the door is going to open and they're going to walk in and see that the one they ill-treated, the one they said those horrible things, that a Son of Man, they're going to see that it was the Son of Man. And you talk about some surprises on some faces. I don't want it to be that way with me. I want to be, when I walk in, not surprised, but only, oh, thank you, Jesus. I recognized you immediately. You're the one that was right in the middle of the trial with me. You're the one that helped me fight Satan. You're the one that washed my soul. You're the one, you're the man between me and the Father. I want to reckon, oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him. Could we worship him? Hallelujah. Could we praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 So many want to be willing to admit he's a Son of Man, empathize with us, but they don't want to claim him as the Son of Man, the ruler of their lives. I'm going to give kind of an odd. Go ahead and play, if you would, give an odd altar call this morning. It's going to take honesty. Maybe not from the things you've said, but the way you've lived your life. You'd have to admit this morning, I'm kind of living like I'm ashamed of the Son of Man. But he said if you are ashamed of the Son of Man, he's going to be ashamed of you at his coming. If in any way you've been living, acting, doing in a manner that would say, I'm ashamed of the Son of Man. But if he were to come, I don't want him to see me as ashamed, but in grateful adoration. Would you just begin to come to the altar and say, I don't want to be ashamed of him. Amen. Would you like to begin to feel this altar? I say, I don't want to be ashamed of him. When he comes, I don't want him to find me ashamed of him. Would you like to come? Would you like to come? I'm keeping that open. Are you here this morning? As a human, you're in an awful struggle. In an awful battle. You say, thank God he's touched with the feelings of my infirmities. He empathized. Would you like to come and say, thank you, Jesus, that you're in the battle with me? Amen. Would you come? And the third thing, across this building, once again, you'd like just to come and bow and say, you are the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Not only will you rule the universe, but you're the Lord of my life. You're on the throne of my heart. Amen. Would you come, church, and fill this altar? Amen. That's it, young ladies. Go ahead and come. Someone pray with these young ladies that's coming. Any of these things, come and bow and call him Lord. Hallelujah. 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 When he comes, call him Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. He empathizes with you and your struggle. Don't live ashamed of him.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Let him be Lord and ruler of your life.
He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
Hallelujah. Do you call him the Son of Man this morning, King of my life?
Oh,
hallelujah.
He loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life.
Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts.